microbes on Earth, long before the Earth. I mean, that might suggest that biology is really much older than the hills.
Yeah, absolutely. No, in fact, our whole solar system is very young relative to the universe itself.
Fantastic. Well, Allison Peck, thank you so very much for a very interesting discussion.
Thank you for having me.
Allison Peck is a scientist at the National Radio Astronomy Observatory in Charlottesville, Virginia. So we've been talking about years and decades and millennia and stretches of geologic time and end with stretches of cosmologic time in the billions of years.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think our problem with it is fundamentally that we think in terms of time to, well, the time to dinner. You know, our life is shaped by short time scales, you know, hours, days, maybe a few weeks. I mean, look at how few people actually plan for their retirement. So the universe, which operates on time scales of millions or billions of years, well, I mean, we're just not wired to deal with that easily. It's like Wagnerian opera. It takes a long time for things to develop.
Here's something we can understand: our appreciation for the endless hard work of Gary Niederhoff and Barbara Vance.
And also the support of Rena Schulsky David and Sammy David and the NASA Astrobiology Institute. Big Picture Science is produced at the SETI Institute, and a big thanks also to our listeners.
Your ears have been having a good time listening to Deep Time. Want more Big Picture Science? Find us on iTunes and through the link on our website. And while you're online, why not become a fan of the program on Facebook? And leave your comments there as well.
And if you're a podcast listener, but you prefer over-the-air radio, because, after all, who has time deep enough to download? Check out the listing on our website of radio stations that carry the program. And if your local station is not on that list, consider letting them know that you like the show.
I'm Dennis.
And I'm Nettie.
We're the Royal Blackbirds, and you're listening to WHFR Dearborn.
The views and opinions expressed on the following pre-recorded show do not necessarily represent those of WHFR or Henry Ford Community College. Good afternoon. This is WHFR Dearborn. You're listening to the show called Metaphysically Speaking. I'm the host of the show, Mike Holloway, and this month my special guests are Dave and Pat Krajovic, and they are the founders of Bodyworks and Global Breath Institute in Plymouth, Michigan. And today we're going to be talking about how to be calm during chaos. That's very important. Good afternoon. How are you doing today?
Really well, Mike. Thank you for having us here. It's a pleasure.
Well, thanks for doing the show. I appreciate it. Dave, can we hear from you, or are you just going
to... Actually, I'm demonstrating the secret to stress
relief. Oh, to being
let
calm.
The wife be in charge and let her take the lead.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Works.
Uh-huh. Really? Yeah. You've learned that throughout the marriage? Is
yes,
that it?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, probably pretty wise. But, so how do you stay calm during all this chaos? You know, we have things like mass murders going on, things like that. People are stressed out constantly with what is going on, not only in general, but also in their own personal lives. What can people do to remain calm and perhaps find happiness?
Do you want to take the lead on that one?
I think the most important thing to do is look at your breath. Breath is the only way that will really bring us into present moment awareness. And to stay calm, to stay grounded, and to stay in this moment, which is really the only moment, is through the breath. So practicing conscious breathing and really putting your attention and focus on your breath is a real key to handling the now.
Mm-hmm. So that's where you always try to stay, in the now?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. When we're in the past, we're full of regret and worry and I shoulda, woulda, coulda, or why didn't I? And when we're in the future, we're in anxiety and fear and wonder. And we're missing the only moment that really is, which is this moment. And breathing consciously can really keep you in this moment, keep you calm, keep you available, keep you in a state of awareness about and consciousness about where you are right now and what's going on around you right now, keeping you grounded and available.
Mm-hmm. And Dave, what's your take on it?
I mean, Pat's absolutely right, in my opinion, and we have worked with a lot of people in this regard, and we've done that a lot on our own. And, you know, you just take the normal corporate day-to-day person. Most companies today have downsized over the last few years. They're doing more with less people. People are asked to work longer hours, and that's just a trait of this country. The consciousness is, you know, if you work hard, you can get whatever it is that you want that'll make you happy. And I think that's the thing that humanity, or especially Americans, have bought into, is if you work hard and you make all this money, then you can buy this thing and this thing will make you happy. Well, that's a thought. And the problem is we're always thinking, when I get the next thing, so we're never here in the present moment to enjoy this moment. And that's really, I think, where Pat's coming to, is that you're missing the moment when you're chasing the dream. And mm-hmm. and when you're in that corporate world where you're trying to work harder and working longer hours, then you're worried about, well, geez, I have to do this project, I have to get that project done. And you're multitasking, and your mind isn't even on what you need to do in the moment, because you're worried about what's going to happen or what's not going to happen if you don't get it done. Hence, the stress builds up, and your mind's in the future, and you're not even focused on your task, so you're less efficient. So it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy, where now I'm working longer, I'm working harder, I'm getting less done, and I'm stressed. What can you do about it? Get your mind out of the future. And the best way to do that is just feel the air moving into your lungs. It's that simple. And as soon as you do that, you've brought all of your awareness back into this moment. Because you can't be aware of the breath and not be in this moment. The breath doesn't happen yesterday, or it doesn't happen tomorrow. It happens right now.
It better be happening now, huh? Otherwise, you're in trouble.
Exactly. Where would we be if it wasn't happening now? It's certainly not alive and awake on the planet anyway.
Right, right. Well, again, you don't want to live in the past either. I mean, it's taking away from the breath, and it's, again, maybe some kind of stress by always dwelling on the past. You know, you want to go back to simpler times or whatever, and that's not always a reality. What do you tell people about that? Same thing that people that are thinking too much about the future?
Actually, it is, mm-hmm. because it's just a thought. It's a thought about being in the future, as we, you know, just talked about, or a thought about the past. The problem is that most of these thoughts occur unconsciously. And science has told us that 90% of our thoughts are unconscious. So they're in our subconscious, so we're not aware of them. So in the history that Pat and I have together, much of our relationship early on was one of reaction. She would do something that I felt she shouldn't do, or she showed up in a different way, and then I would react. I wouldn't even think about it. I would just immediately get angry with her. And it's not that I want it to be, it's this trigger mechanism that all of a sudden you just find yourself in an argument over, well, she was supposed to call me before she came home, or she was going to be late, or something like that. Well, subconsciously I interpret that as, well, that means that you don't love me because you didn't call me. So then I get angry, but that has nothing to do with what her intention was, but I made a story. Mm-hmm. And it's all unconscious. And if we can just, in that moment, whenever she says that, if we can find a way to take a deep breath and come into the present, then we break that chain reaction, and a lot of arguments can be saved. And not just arguments, but stress that leads to heart disease and high blood pressure, and relationships then that are more born in joy and love and bliss in the moment than angry reaction. That was our life.
Right.
I mean, if we hadn't embraced these concepts, we would not be here today. We would not be married.
Oh, really? It would be that bad?
Oh, yeah. Not
really?
At all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, now, I understand, Pat, you were the one that really started with the breath, right? And you kind of dragged Dave along. Was that the...
I did.
Was that how it happened?
I did. That is how it happened. And I'm a really fiery person. I multitask. I'm always busy moving, doing, creating, whatever. And I tried to start to meditate, and everyone's like, you need to meditate. And I would sit down to meditate, and my mind was just constantly moving, you know, you should be done. Is it over yet? You know, what about the story? You have a, just never quiet, never peaceful. And my yoga teacher said, you know, you should go try this breath work. They're doing it tonight. Go on over and give it a go. And I trusted her, so I did. And I was amazed. I was peaceful and quiet and centered for probably the first time that I could remember as an adult. And I did some journaling after that, and it was just amazing the insight I got and the connection I felt to something greater than me that I had heard about but never experienced. Mm-hmm. And I came home and I was so excited, and I said, we've got to do this. He's like, oh yeah, you know, flavor of the month,
yeah,
kind of thing.
Whatever,
today
yeah.
it's this, uh-huh. tomorrow it's breathing, the next day it's yoga, whatever. And I continued to do it for about a year. And then I decided I was going to go to the training, and that's when he got interested. What do you mean you're going to the training? You're not going to the training. And I'm like, yeah, I am going to the training. Then he started breathing and realized that there was something very powerful here,
mm-hmm.
and got on board, and it's changed our lives.
Mm-hmm. For the better, obviously.
For the better. Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm. It's changed everything about how we do things and how we show up.
Mm-hmm.
And I've just experienced insight and peacefulness and blissfulness and awareness and open-heartedness to an extent that I never dreamed could be possible.
Mm-hmm. So you're both calmer, would you say?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So when you're in traffic, you're not really getting upset with other drivers or anything like that?
No. And you know, you really learn to just breathe it in and be grateful for things. Like, I'm grateful I have this moment in traffic to just pause and be, and you know.
That is unique. Yes.
It is.
Yes.
It is. And it gives you a whole different awareness about what's going on around you. You know, maybe you get to see a bird picking some seed out of a tree, or uh-huh. a little squirrel getting a nut, or you know, look at another driver and look at them and they're stressed and send them a blessing. I mean, mm-hmm. it really can change how you experience the world.
In fact, it's right. a lot of fun to have that moment, to be present with it. And like Pat said, another driver there, well, you just send them a blessing. May you be blessed by good health, happiness, prosperity, and spirituality. Do that a few times in a traffic jam and see how you feel, let alone sending good blessings to others.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So what happens is, you know, there's a law that says what you give, you receive, but I think so many of us forget that, or we don't really understand it. So you can do it because you want to help someone else, but in reality, you're helping yourself too. Because the way the universe works is when you give it, and when I give happiness to another, then the universe is going to give me more happiness so I can give more to others. It's a beautiful, beautiful system that just brings you right now into the moment as well. So it's a wonderful other thing you can do when you're in a time of chaos and you're looking to be grounded and centered, is just bless another. Wait, I'm the one that's stressed. Bless another? I don't have it. Try it.
Mm-hmm.
Take a deep breath and just try it and see what happens. And then you create a chain of that, and you'll be amazed at how in 30 seconds, 60 seconds, you'll be a totally different person.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it's interesting the way you're both talking to, staying in the now, just like Pat was saying, you're noticing little different things, you know, the squirrel and stuff, as opposed to, you know, oh, don't look at that squirrel, think about what you have to do at work, or think about what you have to do when you get home, you know, that kind of stuff. But staying in the now and just, you know, observing nature here and there, that would be relaxing. I had never really thought of it like that, but by staying in the now, you do kind of free yourself from all the petty little concerns and everything that you have that, I don't know, is definitely creating stress in your life.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And, you know, one other thing I think a lot of us do, and I was guilty of this until I brought consciousness to it, but, you know, we talk about living in the past. So often something happens. Someone says something to us, or someone does something that hurts our feelings, or isn't in alignment with what we think they should have said or done. So we dwell on it, we chew on it, and then we start to collect evidence about that person and build a story about their behavior or their comment. And then we start sharing it with others. So all this time and energy is spent about something that happened a day, a week, a month ago. And we continue to talk and churn, and build this image of this person in a very negative way. And before you know it, this little mustard seed is now a mountain. And we've created a story about how awful someone is and what they've done to us. But if we would stop and think about how much of our life force, how much of our energy we have tied up in that one thing back there, that we've drug with us, and the weight we've carried for days or weeks or months, and for sometimes years. I mean, you talk to people and they haven't talked to family members in years. What is that about? And do we not realize how much of our very existence we're tying up in energy, we're tying up in something that happened a long time ago, that all we have to do is just let it go and forgive and open our heart and say, wow, you know, that person must have been having a really bad time, or just let it go. And how freeing and liberating that is. And we have all this energy now we can bring back into today.
Right, but not always easy to do, I don't
think. Not easy to do.
It's simple, but it's not easy.
Mm-hmm.
And what's interesting is, like Pat said, okay, so you have all this energy that you're holding against this person. There's actually a reflection in the way we breathe when we hold energy within our energy body.
There definitely is.
So, and physically, you can see that, you can observe that, because the breath becomes more shallow. So all of us have a more shallow breath. Humanity does in general. In fact, if you were to observe what the full capacity would be versus what most people breathe, it's about half. And that means you're getting half the air, half the oxygen, half the prana or life force that you're able to bring in. So we've structured ourselves in such a way that when we look around, we think normal is what we see, and we never realize there's more potential. So if you can, like Pat said, just let go of the energy, then you free up all this life force and oxygen to come into your body. Everything changes. You just have all these tools of it, not tools, but you have all this material, you know, that's coming from inside you, from somewhere, that just allows you to have a different attitude, and you awaken to see things so much more differently. And you know, one of the things people, well, so what if I breathe more? I don't have a problem breathing. You do have a problem breathing. The problem is that you don't realize how limited you've become. And oxygen itself, like on a physical level, will eradicate bacteria and viruses. Many don't live in an oxygenated environment. So there's many benefits that come as a result of just opening up the breath to be able to breathe more deeply. And we know it creates a relaxation response. So the blood pressure immediately goes down. The benefits are just tremendous,
mm-hmm.
just on a physical level,
mm-hmm.
let alone the mental and emotional level of those feelings that come with that.
Right. And very briefly, I just want to mention that this is WHFR.FM, the station making waves. This program is Metaphysically Speaking. I'm your host, Mike Holloway. My special guests this month are Dave and Pat Krajovic, founders of Bodyworks and Global Breath Institute. And that's located in Plymouth, Michigan. And we're talking about how to be calm during all this chaos that is going on lately, and how you can be a happier person, wouldn't you say? It sounds to me like your health has really improved as well with the breathing, correct?
That's insightful, Mike.
Okay, really? All right.
Well, and this is something I just take for granted now, but prior mm-hmm. to whenever, like Pat said, you know, the year went by and I started to do some of this breath work, I would get sick once or twice a year. And mm-hmm. it would be of such a nature that I might need to miss a couple of days of work, but I'd be down and out for a week and feeling just lousy. Today, ever since I let go and was able to breathe more deeply, I rarely get sick. And if I do, it's for a day. And if it's for a day, it's just light. It's not heavy, down and out, I can't move around, I can't operate. It's a tremendous shift in terms of just health and well-being. My blood pressure went down by 15 points. I didn't change the way I eat, I didn't exercise more, I just changed the way I breathe.
Mm-hmm.
And it made a big difference.
And that's the same with you, Pat?
Absolutely. I mm-hmm. don't get sick. Rarely am I sick.
Mm-hmm.
And I have more energy, and you know, I just have more, I think, interest and vitality around life.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that you do think better with more oxygen?
Oh, absolutely.
Can you tell a
absolutely.
Difference? You make better decisions yeah. sometimes?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, when we have a problem that we want to solve, or if we have an event or something we want to create, we don't sit and just say, okay, what do we do, and come from our head. We actually do breath sessions and then breathe on a problem or breathe on an issue and then come out in such a creative way. It just lets you think outside the box. Mm-hmm. So we come up with some really interesting and innovative and insightful things.
Mm-hmm. Right. And you surprise yourself sometimes?
We do. We do. Yeah. And actually, Dave does a really fabulous job of facilitating groups. And we've worked with work groups where he's been a moderator in a team who wants to solve a problem or come up with some type of innovation. And they'll do just a brief breath session on a statement. And the people are shocked at what comes out of those short, just 5-minute breath sessions with him guiding a discussion around, okay, how does this team want to solve this problem, or what do we want to create around this issue? And people are like, wow, I never would have thought of that. You know, they're surprised at their own thoughts.
Right.
So it really allows your higher self to kick in and give you insights that are just not available to you prior to breathing.
Mm-hmm. Would you say that this is a form of meditation, or does it help accelerate that at all? How would you describe it?
Pat can talk about accelerating meditation because the breath is able to clear the mind. So those that have difficulty meditating, Pat will tell that story, and they find that the mind is much clearer, and therefore they can go deeper in a meditation. You can come to the point of stillness and silence easier. So breath is not a meditation from the standpoint that in meditating, you're looking for a place of silence. When we're breathing a connected breath where you're always consciously doing something, in that your breath is moving in a circular manner, so there's no pause between the inhale or exhale. It's a great segue into meditation, and in fact, the way we choreograph a breath session is to have this sort of active phase in the beginning to clear the lower, denser energies, and then it segues into a softer, more higher vibration energy that leads you into a meditation. And then people just basically go into a self-meditation. And many people receive a lot of guidance from others or from their higher self or whoever they're working with. They get insights into problems. They have different kinds of, out-of-body experiences, mm-hmm. Just from a simple one-hour session.
Mm-hmm. Now, what about you two? I mean, surely there must be times when people really upset you and you start to get angry. Do you immediately cut that off and perhaps take a deep breath, you know, maybe do some breathing exercise that helps relieve the situation?
Actually, yes.
It just happened before you got to the radio station.
No, actually, okay. It happened over the holidays.
Okay.
But I found myself really struggling with something that was extremely important to me. And I was in a real state of emotional turmoil, and I needed to make a decision. And I knew that people would be hurt if I did one thing, but people would be hurt if I did another thing. And I had to come to a place of, what do I feel is really right here? And how am I going to execute this decision? And I did quite a bit of breathing, and it really gave me a real secure base to come from to say, this is what I really truly believe is right, and this is the position and stand I need to take. And you know, if people get hurt, I'm really sorry, but this is something that I morally feel I need to do. And there was a lot of fallout, emotional turmoil around that from other people, and using the breath really got me through it. And you know, doing pieces of forgiveness, you know, I'm really sorry, this is something I need to do, I know it hurt you, but this is something I need to do. But really staying clear and using the breath to keep me centered was really critical in getting through that time.
Mm-hmm. But once you made that decision, you knew it was the right one.
Oh, I did, totally. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there was just nothing more I could have done. So you just do what you feel you need to do from a place of integrity. And you know, when people start reacting around you, holding your center is really key. Mm-hmm. And the breath really helped me maintain my center during that time of what I felt was emotional turmoil.
Mm-hmm. Well, again, too, just the fact that you're centered, doesn't that help with grounding yourself, knowing that you've made the right decision, mm-hmm. you have done everything you can as far as breathing exercises go, and you've come up with something and you just feel good about it. You just know it's right.
Yes, absolutely. And you know, people don't understand you know, inhaling and exhaling, you know, what is the inhale? The inhale is about bringing something in, bringing life force in, bringing expansiveness in, bringing higher levels of consciousness in, accepting a situation that you don't really like, bringing that in, because if you don't bring it in, you're resisting or arguing with what is. So if I want to be peaceful and I'm in a situation I don't like, I can embrace the situation, even though it's difficult and I don't like it, and it wouldn't be this way if I could have controlled it. But not arguing with what is, embracing what is, breathing it in and letting it be part of you because it is. And then exhale, letting go and blessing it with love and just letting go of the resistance, of the dislike, of the dissatisfaction, of the stress you're feeling. The exhale is a beautiful way of letting the universe handle the garbage that you're letting go of. So we trust that it will be handled.
Right.
And breathing in expansiveness and peacefulness and letting go. And it's such a tool under our nose, and it's free, and we don't even realize the power of it.
Right, right. Well, I imagine it's difficult sometimes to get the word out and convince people to at least check it out, right?
Yeah. People go, well, I'm already breathing.
Yeah, right.
What do you think?
I'm alive, yes.
I'm alive.
Right.
I'm breathing.
Well, it's like Dave said, too. Yeah, you're breathing, but, you know, only at, you know, a certain level, you know, not fully, and it does make a difference, apparently. So,
yeah, it does. And Pat is so right on with what she said in terms of resistance to what is. So our stress is created when we have a situation and we think it should be different. It's just that simple. I think it should be this way. It's not that way. We judge it and we create stress.
I'm upset. I'm angry. I'm hurt. I'm frustrated. I'm something other than peaceful.
And usually it's because the other person did it. The other person could be a mother, a daughter, a coworker, a boss. It could be the government. It doesn't matter. But we all look for ways to project that energy out there. And as we do that, we actually end up losing our power. And then we become victims, and then we become helpless. 30-plus million Americans are depressed and need to be on medication. Why? Because they've given away their power. Okay, you can look for biochemical reasons, but the metaphysical reason, the energetic reason, is they've given away their power. They feel hopeless. They feel that they can't get their joy anywhere. There is joy in the air you breathe if you choose to breathe in life and love and joy. As Pat said, the in-breath is a creation. So what are you breathing into your life? What do you want to create? Breathe it in and then let go of the resistance to that. It's the resistance that creates the stress.
And you know, we've been trained to look at a person and analyze their breath pattern. You can tell just by looking at the depth of someone's inhale, the level of happiness in their life. You can tell. And it's shocking.
Yes. Do you often go up to somebody and say, you're miserable because
you
I don't see you breathing.
You need to breathe deeply.
Yes,
let
right.
me see you inhale.
What is your problem? Yeah, right. I'm sure they appreciate that, you know. Like, just say, leave me alone. You know?
Yeah.
And very quickly, once again, I just want to remind everybody out there that you are listening to WHFR.FM, the station making waves. This is Metaphysically Speaking. I'm your host, Mike Holloway, and today my special guests are Pat and Dave Kudrovic, founders of Bodyworks and Global Breath Institute in Plymouth. And we are talking about how to be calm and just deal with life in general, pretty much through breathing. So I'm just curious, you touched upon this earlier. Do you work with a lot of companies and corporations and their employees on how to perhaps improve productivity?
I wouldn't say it's a lot right now,
mm-hmm.
but I do get a sense with the clients that come through that there's more and more interest in this, in finding alternative ways to create cohesive work groups, to solve complex problems, and to just, how do I deal with all this stress in these hours? And, you know, the traditional ways that we think of just don't seem to work as well. So what are the things I can do right now in this moment that can make a difference? This one's an easy one. And we just see more and more. There's more dialogue going on. Have people taken action? Not so much. But, you know, you start to be aware first. Then you talk about it, then you take action. So I really believe that that's changing.
Mm-hmm.
That's definitely changing. And the ramifications go way beyond the workplaces, I think we've already talked about.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, if people see results, companies or whatever, obviously they're going to do more of it if they feel it helps them.
Absolutely. And we're available to do more of that work. It's something we really enjoy and
have fun
with, and you're really good at that. So.
Yeah.
Well, it's important to have fun, right?
It is. It is.
It does help, especially if it's something you really believe in, and obviously you two really believe in this. You're passionate about it. So that just adds to the pleasure, I would think, of, I guess, informing people and teaching people how to breathe.
Yeah, there's nothing better than to be able to help another person, especially when they feel like they're boxed into a corner. They don't know where else to turn or what else to do. And whenever the nice thing about the breath, we can talk all about it, which is good because it's a first level of awareness. But having the experience, you know, that's a totally different level of knowing and understanding. So having the experience of letting go of this anger I've held for 20 years or 40 years, that experience alone is priceless. And no one can talk about it, and no one can take that experience from you because it's yours. And in that moment when you've had that experience, life changes. It could not be undone. And that sets about a whole new different vibration in the body. And as a result of that, you begin to attract new things.
Mm-hmm. Positive things, right?
Positive things.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
So has that been your experience that... I guess your lives have gotten more positive and you've made the lives of others more positive?
Oh, absolutely. Our life is so much more positive. We're, as a couple, way more connected. We have aspired to very similar goals and objectives, and we work as a team way better than we did in the beginning. And I think we treat our kids differently, our grandkids.
You treat them better, would you say?
Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm. We're more patient. We're more available, more in the moment. You know, I really wish I knew when I was raising my children at a much younger age what I know now. Because I remember, you know, I was a young mom, busy mom, you know, worked a job, had to commute, had kids, had to drop them off, pick them up. You know, make dinner, and they're talking to you, and you're half there. You're thinking about what you have to do before they, you know, get to bed, and packing lunches and whatever, and still work you brought home with you. And I never really felt like I gave them the full attention that that I could have. And I think a lot of probably moms can relate to that. And saying, you know, now I can just stop everything and be available and listen and, you know, be in the present moment with them, really fully available to them, not my mind, you know, three other places while I'm cooking dinner or something.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So, yeah, it's, you're more empathic, you're more communicative, more involved.
Mm-hmm. So the grandkids are benefiting from this now?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's what they're supposed to do, right?
Spoil
the grandkids,
spoil the
and
grandkids.
Then, you know, when they act up, leave.
Yeah. Let mom and dad deal with it.
Yeah, right. It's payback time, you know. Mm-hmm. That happens once in a while,
yeah,
I'm sure.
Yeah.
But overall, how would you, you know, I guess get somebody interested in breathing? What would you say to them to entice them to perhaps do that, other than obviously we've discussed health benefits and whatever, but what do you say to them to really convince them?
Well, typically in the clients that I work with, they'll come in for a physical discomfort. So we work on the physical. And then at some point, they'll start to open up and say, you know, I'm just so stressed, or I'm just so depressed, or I just have this deep guilt or deep some emotion. And then we can start talking about, are you interested in really bringing more joy into your life? And of course they are. So if we say, well, do you realize that there are some things we can do to start working on this from an energetic point of view? And then it segues into breathing. And at that point, they've expressed enough interest, they're ready to try it. So we can get them to start doing some breath work. And, you know, it makes a big difference for people.
Mm-hmm. So people actually come to you because they do have health concerns and they want to improve their overall health or a specific condition they have?
Yes. I get a lot of referrals from people from their psychologists who say, you know, I think you're at the point in therapy, you're kind of stuck here. I think breath work would really help open, get you through this. Why don't you go see her? So they do. And it makes a big difference because it shakes loose the stuck places. And we can talk, which is, talk therapy is very good.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes we're in a place where we're like a record repeating ourselves. We're stuck in whatever that issue is. And if we could breathe and knock that loose, it really helps them move forward in their
work.
Right.
Well, more insight or different insight as to what's going on in their lives.
Yeah. And plus, breath work, when you're in a certain place in your breath work, you actually can change the body's energetic vibrations. So the lower, denser energies that you come in with, despair, depression, anxiety, could be hatred, holding on to something that happened to you in the past, if you've been violated in some way or hurt or abused. As you breathe and you set up an energetic matrix, it actually clears some of those lower vibrational energies, so that when you're done breathing, you're actually, if we could measure your body's vibration, you would be vibrating lighter or faster. So you've actually cleared the body of some of these denser emotions. So people feel better because the things that are weighing them down have been lightened. It's like taking the burden off your shoulders and getting rid of it, putting it aside. So every time you breathe, there's a synergistic effect. Well, today I'm vibrating a little higher than yesterday, then I breathe again and I'm vibrating higher than today. And it just continues to build on itself until you start clearing some of these. And then it allows you to start changing your behavior because you're not being driven by these denser emotions.
Mm-hmm. And you know, since we're talking metaphysics underlying all this, remember that it is a magnetic universe. Vibrational universe, so meaning that like is going to attract like. So if you have, and your vibration, your core vibration is a denser energy, you're going to continue to attract that. It's very, very hard to change your life when you have this core dense energy emanating all around you and radiating out. So that's where the breakthrough comes in. Shift that little bit, then you can begin to attract new things. And that's the secret of it. And it makes it easier for each of us to have a higher choice in our life. Much, much easier. So, you know, the will wants to do differently. I don't want to argue with my wife. I really don't. But you can't help yourself because you've got this negative energy that keeps attracting more negativity. So when you can break that chain, now you can make a different choice.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I, in one of the classes we do, we talk about levels of consciousness. And it's kind of interesting to see because, okay, I love my wife, Pat, but she's a great teacher for me. And early in our life, she would do something, you know, she would say something that I wouldn't like. And so I would get angry and I would just immediately attack her back because I had to be right. And the only way for me to be right was for her to be wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So as consciousness evolves and awareness evolves, then all of a sudden, and I might be angry with her for a week. And as consciousness evolves, then I might be only angry for a day. And then she says something and I'm reacting, but it's less severely. But I'm still reacting. And then all of a sudden she says something, I'm reacting, but I'm watching. I think this is just marvelous. I am watching myself be angry as if I am two people. One's over here running off at the mouth and the other's just casually observing. Geez, that's really interesting. Can't stop it yet, but very interesting. And this is the point at where Eckhart Tolle says you've become the observer. You actually are able to now see that there is something else other than the mind that works. The higher self, the observer, whatever you want to call it. And then all of a sudden, consciousness reached the level where she says something, I don't react. I may feel upset, but I'm not being triggered by that I'm acting. And then soon enough, the act becomes neutral. And that what she says, okay, she says that, that's how she feels.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm okay with that because guess what? I'm okay with me. and I'm okay with me because I don't have all that denser energy, and I'm actually vibrating at a higher level, meaning that I'm collecting more prana through the breath, and my cord that's connected to my soul is getting more divine energy coming into me. Mm-hmm. So your connection to the higher soul is greater, which then provides you deeper levels of awareness, deeper levels of peace in times of chaos, and greater insight into other information that's available to all of us. Mm-hmm. And it's marvelous when you start to go down that path and work with people along the way. Mm-hmm. And I can see myself in all these points in my life where I've reacted in certain ways and watched that, and I've been the observer and watched myself yell at the same time. It's everyone's got to try that. It's just a wild experience.
Mm-hmm. Is this what you experienced, Pat?
Absolutely. And you know, having been on the receiving end of that, and then having also been the
done my share.
Okay. Yeah, you really get to see, oh wow, you know, I mean, that's a really different response for me. I'm not feeling angry at all. I'm not feeling triggered at all. And then you start to really see that what's his is his, what's mine is mine, and how I react, how I choose to react or not is really my choice.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So you really put consciousness and take responsibility for your own actions. You know, too often we go, well, he made me mad. No, he didn't do anything. He just did what he did. You chose your response to that.
Right. That was your reaction.
That's your reaction. Right. And own it. You know?
Right. Well, don't they say that people reflect themselves, really? I mean, they're
the kind of
like mirrors. Yeah, mm-hmm. Right. So
absolutely.
That what one sees in one, the other also sees in the other person as well.
Mike, you're exactly right. That's what was going on. I was projecting my stuff on her. She was projecting her stuff on me. We all do it to each other. The key is to be able to stop, like we said. And when you react, you're unconscious. When you respond, you're conscious. In other words, I will choose my response. I'm not reacting in a triggered moment that's unconscious. That's a huge world of difference. And that's where all of us are, I think, at some level seeking to evolve. And when that happens, like, you know, you won't have people out shooting other people because they're reacting to something. You know, you won't have stealing that's going on. People don't need to react. They won't be reacting to events. So, you know, right now, they're talking about gun control, you know, oh, we need to control the guns. Okay, that's a reaction. What can we do to bring love into schools and teach love and compassion so that we don't react to events? That's getting to the cause, in my opinion. That's not just putting a Band-Aid on it.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're never going to control the behavior of someone that wants to shoot people. That's the key, is how do you get to the cause of that? And of course, because it's vibrational, you know what? Maybe I can't do something about the guy out there, but the more I change my vibration, then guess what? We, as a planet, because we're all connected, there'll be less of that going around. So we all, don't look out there. All you can do is work on you. And I wouldn't be married to my wife if I made her work on her, because she wouldn't do it. I had to work on me, she had to work on her. Fortunately for us, that pulled both of us up together even more. That's how relationships change. That's how the world changes. I just invite everyone to do what they can for themselves. And like we said, breathe consciously.
Mm-hmm.
Let go.
Right. But again, it comes down to the self and how the self reacts to different situations.
Yes.
And again, not easy to do. I mean, it's a lot easier to blame somebody else or a certain situation that my life is a mess because of this or whatever. But what I wanted to ask about is, if somebody has experienced abuse in the past, what do you tell them? How can breathing help break up that resentment or that hurt or anything like that?
Well, again, whatever the event was that happened, an abuse situation, an abandonment situation, there was an energy that got locked into place in that moment. It could be fear, it could be anger, it could be sadness. I mean, the core basic human energies. So, you know, let's pick abuse since you mentioned it. Maybe, you know, our uncle abused us sexually and we were just outraged at it. But, you know, we were told you gotta be, keep it quiet. You know, you can't talk about that. Or whatever it is. That energy is suppressed within the being of that person. And they live with that their entire life. They can never be fulfilled and allow the joy that they really are to come out, because that's holding them down. That's making them smaller. That's compressing them. It's making them shrink and shrivel. So how do we get that unlocked? And their breath pattern will mirror that, in that it will too will be shrunken and shriveled and tight and compressed. So what we would do is just work gradually on that. I mean, that's a traumatic event. Mm-hmm. It does not have to be relived. The energy just has to be released. There's a big difference. You do not even have to remember the event. You just have to let go of the energy pattern that created the event. And that is where the breath just really, really excels at. Because you're working at the energy level, you don't have to know anything. I just let go of what I'm feeling now. I embrace it because it's something that I created, and then I let it go. Feel it, embrace it, engage it, let it go. It's kind of the acronym for feel. Feel it, engage it, so you really understand it. Embrace it, you actually understand it so much and know it that you love it because you created it. I mean, I know it's really hard for people to get their mind, or wait a minute, I was abused, I didn't create anything. The feeling was what was created. And I held on to that. That was my creation. I chose to hold on to that. And I wasn't allowed to express my grief or my anger at the time. That is a choice. All of us make that choice. No one's judging that. So now we have to let it go. Just mm-hmm. let it go.
And oftentimes, in working in those kinds of cases, there's an element of guilt. And people really feel guilty, like they did something that allow the perpetrator to violate them. And working with that guilt energy is huge. It's mm-hmm. just huge. And they have to learn to understand they did nothing wrong. They have to forgive themselves. And then at some point, hopefully, you know, forgive the violation, understanding that that person, well, that's a whole nother story, but not holding the anger because you've not truly let go then. But working with that guilt energy is often huge.
And forgiveness doesn't mean that I forgive the event. It's that I understand that I am a soul, you are a soul, and at the soul level, this may have needed to happen. I forgive you because of the divinity in you. I don't forgive what was done. I mean, you don't have to go to that level and go to that person and say, I forgive you. And nor do they have to come back to you and say, I'm sorry.
And that doesn't mean that if, you know, laws were broken, you don't involve the proper authorities. That doesn't mean that. Forgiveness doesn't mean that.
Exactly. We're speaking at the energetic level that there was a reason for this. I don't understand it, but I'm just letting go of any hold I have over that. It's a very big difference. It's spiritual forgiveness.
I thought that was beautifully modeled. It was one of the fathers of one of the children killed recently in that Connecticut shooting, and he mm-hmm. said the night of the massacre, he said, you know, my heart goes out to that man and his family, how wounded he must be. And that embodied, in my opinion, this concept of forgiveness. No, he did not forgive the actual act, but he forgave the soul, for he saw the woundedness in the soul. That was, to me, highly spiritual.
Mm-hmm. Not always easy to do.
Not at all. Mm-hmm. Not at all.
Right. Right. Once again, I just want to remind everybody that you are listening to WHFR.FM, the station making waves. This program is Metaphysically Speaking. I'm your host, Mike Holloway. And this month, my special guests are Pat and Dave Krajovic, and they are the founders of Bodyworks and the Global Breath Institute in Plymouth, Michigan. And we are talking about breathing and how it can help calm a person during times of chaos. And speaking of that shooting in Connecticut, what was your reaction to it? And did breathing help you at all? I mean, when you hear about events like that, that's something where obviously everybody is going to feel very saddened by all the events. How do you normally react to that kind of a thing? Is there any set way or no?
In this particular case, I just felt... I mean, I think everybody's heart chakra just opened. Everybody felt, and I felt, such a sense of sadness and loss and compassion for the victims and their families. And You know, it's shocking, but really breathing does help get through. It keeps you centered and keeps you from going places with your mind you don't want to go, and increasing the drama. There's already enough drama around it. People need stability then. They need prayers. They need support. They need assistance and comfort. They don't need the whole world going into drama around this. So yeah, breathing really does help. But I think a lot of people's hearts were opened, and a lot of love and prayers went to the families. And but yeah, breathing keeps you stable in the moment.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that better breathing also helps you sleep better? You get more rest, or no?
Oh, absolutely.
Yes. Mm-hmm. You feel better in the morning when you wake up?
Absolutely. You know, one of the reasons that there are lots of reasons people can't sleep at night, but one of the main ones is their mind is continuing to churn. They can't get thoughts out of their head. Again, it's back to that. I'm either worried about something or, geez, I wish I wouldn't have said that to my boss or whatever it is.
Yeah. They got me fired. Yeah. I guess I shouldn't have said that.
Have
yeah.
Said.
Darn. But those sorts of things tend to happen a lot less.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, sleep is comes easier, and it's more restful at the same time, which is great for everyone. And even in cases of sleep apnea, where people are just, you know, their sleep is violently interrupted in that. We've had people come back, and just after a few breath sessions, no problems anymore.
Really, they don't need the apparatus anymore to help breathe?
Nope.
Mm-hmm.
Nope. Lots of conditions like that can be assisted.
Mm-hmm. That's pretty amazing, though.
Yeah, asthma. There have been people who have been on inhalers and meds for all of their life. They're in their 40s or 50s, and they report that with a breath practice. Now, it's not you don't breathe once or twice and you're done, but with a steady breath practice, they reduce their meds, and some people are off their inhalers and meds altogether. So mm-hmm. when they make breath part of their life.
Right.
Dave and I have a breath practice that's part of our life.
Mm-hmm.
We do a certain thing every day around breathing and mm-hmm. increasing consciousness.
Is that something you do like first thing in the morning?
First thing in the morning, last thing at night, and then periodically through the week a breath session.
Mm-hmm.
If we want to make a decision, if we feel anxious about something or have some energies we want to clear, or
do you feel like you're eating healthier too because of that? You're making better food choices and better, I don't know, do you exercise at all, maybe a little bit more, anything like that?
Yeah, it helps me to stay with more of my practices: exercise, eating, meditating, you know, my centeredness practices. So yes, it really does do that. We sometimes cheat around the holidays. We ate things we wouldn't normally eat, or, you know, we had a lot of company and kids, so we were, you know, making cookies and things like that. And that's not part of our normal diet, but, you know.
Yeah, well, it's
yeah,
the holidays.
It's the holidays,
right? Yeah.
So, you know, you go with the flow.
Mm-hmm.
But no,
right.
I think whenever you're immersed in the practice and you're really committed to what you're doing, it helps to ground that energy, and you do a better job of the exercise and the diet and the meditation and all of it.
Right. Well, I think, Dave, didn't you say that your blood pressure went down once
yes.
you started breathing?
Yes, absolutely. 15 points. You know, just about every negative habit that we have or choice that we make is typically unconscious. So if you want to exercise more or have better eating choices, it's like it's easy to eat when you're not hungry, or eat too much, or make the wrong food choices that might be high in fat or lots of sugar or whatever. The question is, when you're eating it, are you present with it and really enjoying it, or are you just inhaling it and wolfing it down?
Right.
I do a lot less wolfing it down now, and wow, this ice cream is just divine, and being present with it. So it's not just about, okay, I see a bird when I'm stuck in the traffic, but the food that I eat.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's the same. It can be applied to every moment of your life, and life will become richer because of that.
Mm-hmm.
So then it feeds back into better food choices. And when you're more present, I promise you, you tend not to eat as much. So mm-hmm. it's easier if you're looking to lose weight. When you raise your consciousness, it becomes easier to do that.
Right. Well, I have heard that as far as losing weight, to eat in the now just be conscious of your food and concentrate on that, the texture, the taste, everything else, the sensation, the whether smell. It be hot, cold, right. Mm-hmm. And just enjoy it for just by virtue of the fact that it's, you know, nurturing your body and it's helping you to survive.
Absolutely.
But just to enjoy the food that you're eating, you know, mm-hmm. really taste it. I think, like Dave said, you wolf it down. I know I have a tendency to do that. But and as a result, you know, sometimes you eat a whole dinner and you say, wow, I'm done already? How
what
did that happen?
Have?
Yeah, right. You know,
and I don't even remember
that
what
does
I ate.
Happen, yes. Yeah. So that's a good thing, I think, that you probably eat less just because of that, because you're slowing things down,
yeah.
correct?
Yeah, yes. Yeah, because you pay attention to that feeling of satiety. Oh, I'm done.
Mm-hmm.
Where when you're not conscious with your food, you just keep eating, you know, and it's like, oh my gosh, I ate that whole bowl.
Yeah, right. How did that happen? And who was that person?
Yeah,
it wasn't
yeah,
me.
Wasn't
yeah.
me. It wasn't me at all.
Now, does that help people stop smoking as well, doing the breathing?
You know, I don't know. I've never had anybody come to me and say, I want to breathe to quit smoking, but I know people who said they smoke less after a breath practice was implemented.
Mm-hmm. Well, again, does that affect a way a person breathes?
Absolutely.
Because they do smoke?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So do you say cut that out, or you don't really judge or
no,
anything?
No, I
you
don't just... judge that, because if people are going to smoke, they're going to smoke, and I'm more worried about opening their breath and letting them get more air right now, which they're going to need if they're a smoker.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, they can come to that in their
right.
own divine time.
Right.
There are certain... Michael Brown in The Presence Process talks about ways that we cover up underlying feelings, and we either sedate them or control them. Sedating them through something like alcohol or drugs, controlling through smoking, because then you're in control whenever you smoke the cigarette and take the inhale. So those are unconscious reactions to unconscious behaviors. So metaphysically, if you can change the underlying energy, it then gives you more power and it makes it easier to make a different choice. So if you really are motivated to do that, you can have that as a nice tool to assist you in that process. And it seems to work. We were in Turkey teaching the breath.
Turkey, wow, you do get around then, huh?
Yeah, it's a few years ago, but okay. we were there, and we weren't, there was a different program the week before that we got there. We were there to help teach. And it was at a resort area in Turkey, and there was a harbor area. And they were looking for volunteers to come in and just do this breath thing because they were training some facilitators. So they got this guy to come in. He had a houseboat there, and he smoked 5 packs of cigarettes a day. So he did this breath thing, and the next day they saw him and said, how you doing? He says, well, I smoked 5 packs of cigarette a day, and I haven't had a cigarette since the breath session. I have no idea whether the next moment or a week or a day he started to smoke again. He probably did. But it gives you that kind of freedom to be able to make a different choice.
Mm-hmm. Now, if somebody wanted to get in touch with you, how could they do so?
Well, you can always call our center, which is the phone number 734-416-5200. Or we have two websites. One is the Global Breath Institute. .com and bodyworkshealingcenter.com. So either way, through emails of, you know, reaching us by going to the websites, seeing you can learn more about the breath and many of the services we offer out of the center mm-hmm. in Plymouth, or like I said, call us 734-416-5200. We do many different kinds of programs. We have a program on forgiveness coming up on the end of the month of January. We have a program I think we're doing in May about taking us through the pathway of awareness, going through the physical, mental, and emotional levels of our beingness and freeing up the energy of that. And then later on in the year, we have some higher spiritual consciousness classes. And they all have an element of the breath, but it's always much more than the breath. The breath is really a tool.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not the whole answer.
We're also taking people through a 10-week program called The Power of Presence, and it starts in February. And you can do that by either coming to the center, we register, but coming to the center, or you can also do it via
conference call. Yeah.
So if you can't attend, you can still get involved in the program and work with us remotely.
Mm-hmm. And all they have to do is go to the website and get all the details for these mm-hmm. events?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's good. Thank you very much for being here. I really appreciate it. Very interesting, and hopefully that might change a few people, improve their lives, you know, simply by contacting you and improve their breathing. But thank you very much.
Well, thank
both
you.
Thank you. It's our pleasure. We really enjoyed it.
Absolutely. Right. Thank you so
thank
much.
You. I am back, and I do want to thank my guests for this month, Dave and Pat Krajovic, founders of Body Works and the Global Breath Institute in Plymouth, Michigan. I do appreciate them being here. I thought it was very enlightening, and I hope you felt the same way. And speaking of enlightening, what a segue this is, but just bear with me. I want to remind everybody out there that WHFR and Metaphysically Speaking are teaming up once again in order to bring you our fifth annual Festival of Enlightenment Holistic Fair. This will be held on Saturday, March 23rd from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. in the Henry Ford Community College Student and Culinary Arts Center. As usual, we are thrilled and excited to bring you this premier holistic event. This year's festival promises to be bigger and better than ever. If you would like to join us as a vendor, reader, or body healer, please call 313-317-6540, or you can email us at holistic2010@peoplepc.com. Once again, the telephone number, 313-317-6540, and the email address is holistic2010@peoplepc.com. We hope you are able to join us at this fantastic festival. We would love to see you come and celebrate it with us. With that being said, I want to thank my producer, Brandon McKay, for handling this edition of Metaphysically Speaking. I just want to say thank you for listening and have a great day, everybody.
WHFR Dearborn. WHFR, the station making waves, proudly presents The Best of Broadway, a program featuring the best of American musical theater. Good afternoon and welcome. I'm Joe, your host. We've taken care of your tickets. Now let me escort you through 2 hours of enjoyment of the best of Broadway.